Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Red Friday, Playoff Friday, January 21st, 2022. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez getting you ready for the game of the weekend. Might end up being the game of the year.
Are you ready for some football?
But the game of the weekend. Buffalo. I know they came in here and won earlier this season, but they've been waiting for this chance since they got beat at Arrowhead Stadium last year in the AFC Championship game. And the Chiefs have been waiting for this chance since they got beat on Sunday Night Football at Arrowhead Stadium earlier this year. So both teams can claim that they're looking for revenge. And let's be honest, the Chiefs have been waiting to get back to this point so they can have another crack at the Super Bowl after they were embarrassed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in last year's big game. And so there's plenty of reason for these teams to be motivated. You make the argument that these two quarterbacks are playing better than any other quarterbacks in the playoffs. I'm not talking about resume. I'm just talking about how they're playing right now. We've never had a game in the playoffs where both quarterbacks were coming off five touchdown performances. We've never seen that happen. And there's every indication that this is going to be a classic playoff matchup that we'll be talking about for years and years. And there's every indication that we're going to see this playoff matchup coming up for years and years. There'll be times where someone gets beat earlier than they should, or the chips don't fall the right way, and maybe they miss each other in the playoffs. But when you look at the head coaches, the supporting cast, the two quarterbacks, the youth of the two quarterbacks, every reason to believe that this is going to be another chapter in a long book of playoff showdowns between Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Chapter one in last year's AFC Championship game went to Kansas City. Will the Chiefs end Buffalo's season again? Or is Buffalo going to come into Arrowhead Stadium and prove that they are now the big dogs in the AFC? All apologies to the Tennessee Titans and the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the Bengals will be a factor for years to come with Joe Burrow. I think as long as Mike Vrabel is the head coach of Tennessee. And look, you got to give them credit. We talk about teams that the Chiefs have gone up against over the past several years. The last playoff game before Patrick Mahomes took over was a horrific loss to the Tennessee Titans. That was embarrassing, the way they blew that lead. But Tennessee came in here, and that was the last playoff game that we had to endure without Patrick Mahomes as quarterback. And then 2 years ago, to get to the Super Bowl, the Chiefs had to overcome the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game. So you can't slight Tennessee. They've shown that they're going to be perennial contenders. And it may be the Chiefs and the Titans again in the AFC Championship game. But right now, it's all about the Chiefs and the Bills. Except for the Super Bowls, for sure, and the AFC Championship games, I don't know that I've been more excited for a Mahomes-era game. I'm more excited for this game than the Colts game, even though that was the first playoff game with Patrick Mahomes. I'm more excited for this game than the divisional playoff game against the Texans or the Browns. I mean, there's been some great regular season matchups. I mean, I put this right up there. I think about the most excited I've been in my life for a divisional playoff game. It was a nervous excitement for that game against the Colts after the 95 season. But it's just not the same. You knew the Chiefs had the best defense, but I don't know. You know, it's hard to fully embrace a team quarterback by Steve Bono. The 97 season, when they played the Broncos in the divisional round, I didn't enjoy that for a second in the lead up to that, because there was this feeling of impending doom. You know, and after we had seen enough playoff disappointments, and after what had happened in 95, it just, that's after 95 for me, that's when it transitioned into excitement. Hey, can the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl? And it turned into, what horrible thing is going to happen? Kind of where the Cowboys are right now. What horrible thing is going to happen that's going to break my heart and make my eyes bleed in the postseason? And then after that, as a Chiefs fan, that took the life out of you.
Took the life out of the franchise for a while.
Decades, you know? And it's not like the Chiefs went into the tank. I mean, they were bad in 98, but they were reasonable. They were okay under Gunther, you know, and then Dick Vermeil turned them around and had a crack at the playoffs. But it was even hard to really believe in that 2003 team because their defense was so bad, right? Mm-hmm. And so just... Mm-hmm. And then we know the rest of the story. And it's been a long, winding road to get to this point, this era, these Chiefs. But, man, all those years when we'd see those great quarterback matchups in the playoffs and you think about the elite quarterbacks and you just wanted to be a part of it. You just wanted to have one. You just wanted to have a dog in the fight. You wanted to have one of those guys, right, to know what it's like to have this marquee matchup that everyone would talk about, right?
Yep.
Why can't the Chiefs have one of those guys? Why can't we be a part of that? It was an exclusive club that we had no membership into. Right? We couldn't get past the doorman into the nightclub. No matter what we tried to slip him under the table, you know? No matter what we offered him, no matter who we were with, we couldn't get in. And now we're in VIP now.
Oh yeah.
You know. We're in the champagne room.
Bottle service.
We get whatever we want. This is top shelf now. And look, there's no bad matchup this weekend, right? There's no stinker. There's no game that I look at on paper and say, well, that's not worth watching. I know that team's going to win.
Right.
We have our opinions on who's going to win the game, but do you feel that way about Titans and Bengals?
No.
Neither team winning would surprise me, and I think that's going to be a very entertaining game. Right?
Yes.
The Packers are, I'm a heavy lean there, but would it shock you if the 49ers beat them? No.
They're only a 5.5-point favorite, the Packers. I mean, that's not.
Niners were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and they're playing very well right now. No. Rams and the Bucks, the Rams are as talented as anyone. The Bucks are the defending champs, but it wouldn't surprise me either way. That's a toss-up game, too. But the marquee matchup, and that's saying something, because those are three really good divisional playoff matchups that have, and there's, like, it seems like there's at least always one, like, whatever. I'll check, you know. I want to try to watch it, but I'm not going to build my schedule around it. All these games, to me, are must-watch, intriguing matchups for their own reasons, and I think they're terrific on paper. But the main event is Chiefs-Bills. That's why it's 5:30 on Sunday. This is the match, you know, Brady, Stafford, fine quarterback match. Terrific quarterback matchup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun. Burrow and Tannehill. Tannehill doesn't get enough love. He's not an elite quarterback. He's a good, solid quarterback. Burrow's, a young gun. That's a fun matchup. We'll see. You know, can Tannehill score enough points to keep up with the high-flying Bengals? Can the Bengals go on, take their show on the road and take on a rugged defense? It's a well-coached team. That's intriguing, right? Jimmy Garoppolo, he kind of doesn't hold up his end of the bargain there, his end of the deal, in the quarterback showdown against Aaron Rodgers. So that kind of keeps it from being a marquee matchup.
Aaron Rodgers 0-3 against the 49ers in his playoff
career. There you go. There you go. But it's not, you know, it's still not the, you know, Rodgers.
No,
Garoppolo.
No, I mean, like, there's
Rodgers. But Point well taken. That's why it wouldn't shock anyone if the Niners won that game.
Right.
But marquee matchup, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, both quarterbacks threw 5 touchdown passes last week. Both quarterbacks are young and dynamic. Both quarterbacks can beat you with their legs. Both quarterbacks are extremely likable guys. Both quarterbacks, you feel great about being faces of the NFL for the next decade, right? We don't want Buffalo to win. But you said it yesterday. Well, it's you know, what can you say bad about Josh Allen, the guy?
Right.
Like, every time you hear him talk, well, I like that guy. That's a good guy. I want the Chiefs to destroy him on Sunday.
How are you doing?
But, you know, that's the kind of guy. Well, we have Patrick Mahomes now, but that's the kind of guy that the Chiefs wished for decades and decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we got a better guy.
Yep.
But it's just, it's the excitement is tremendous. The matchup is incredible. I still, you know, and maybe I get proven wrong. I still believe that the winner of this game between the Chiefs and the Bills goes to the Super Bowl. I believe the winner of this game wins the Super Bowl. Although, as we've seen last year, anything can happen. You know, all these teams are in the divisional round for a reason. They're all good. But damn. 5:30 Sunday. I can't wait. This I was afraid this week was going to just crawl by at a snail's pace. It flew by, man. Here we are. Here we are, Red Friday, playoff Friday, and you can come out and see me at the Hy-Vee in Gladstone for your chance to win tickets to the damn game. All right? The Hy-Vee Supercard's going to be cruising around KC. It's going to be with me in Gladstone at 7117 North Prospect Avenue today from 11 until 1. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see the Chiefs and the Bills, along with a parking pass, a $100 Visa gift card, and a Chiefs prize pack. So come out and see me, and you can see the 10-foot-tall Supercart, which, again, I'm going to ask them to let me ride around in, depending on the weight limit. Why I ride around in the parking lot of Hy-Vee. There it is. Jake says that he'd like to ride in that cart.
I'm getting tickets.
Right. So you can see this Supercart, and then you could get a chance to win tickets to go see the Chiefs beat the Bills. All you got to do is when you get out there, you get your phone, and it's going to have a QR code on the signage of the vehicle, and you scan the QR code, and you're signed up. How easy is that? And then you do what I tell you and go buy that buffalo chicken dip inside a Hy-Vee so you can have something to nourish yourself up until just a steady diet of buffalo chicken dip from Hy-Vee from now until Sunday will get you right. All right? It'll be delicious, trust me. So come out and see me at Hy-Vee in Gladstone, 7117 North Prospect Avenue today from 11 to 1, and let's celebrate Red Friday together on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well, you know, I thought Jarek did a heck of a job when he came in. He's the only thing that Jarek does is just work. And he's been the ultimate and consistent professional since he's been in this league. And obviously, Clyde and Daryl were doing a heck of a job. And so it's unfortunate that a kid like that gets buried in the depth chart. But one thing he continues to do, he continues to grind, he continues to work. And so when those opportunities are presented, he finds a way to make sure that he can, you know, maximize it and make it the most for him. And so I thought he did a heck of a job last week.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sad news. R.I.P. Meatloaf, who passes away at 74 years old. This song always would motivate the lovely and talented Susan St. John to dance with her starry-eyed husband. You haven't seen us dance to this song, have you? We got a damn routine to this. We set the dance floor on fire. And also, Meatloaf, I was first exposed to Meatloaf in the 1980 movie Roadie, yet another example of a movie that I should not have been watching at my age, but Steve St. John Sr. not interested in spending any money on a babysitter. He's going to go with us, babe.
Smart.
Steve, he'll repeat those things at school. So what?
Plus, you get quality time with the parents.
Well, if they let you sit in the same row as them, would have been great. But no, I sat between them. Sometimes, if I was too fidgety, he'd send me down to the end of the row.
You know, still in the same vicinity.
Quit taking the seat.
Same vicinity.
Right. Babe, pass the nachos. The baby ate all of them, Steve.
The baby.
We've only been here for 10 minutes. How did he eat all of them? He likes nachos. The peppers, too? Sorry. Flashbacks. And also why I have a tremendous amount of, respect for Meatloaf. Jake, were you aware that he was a fantasy sports icon?
No idea.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading, 15 or 20 years ago, an article about him in one of the fantasy baseball magazines. And he was obsessed with fantasy football and fantasy baseball. The article I read at the time, he was in 13 fantasy football leagues and had won 11 of them.
Wow.
And they were interviewing, on his tour, some guys that reminded me of Nate, didn't want to be in the league, but you work for Meatloaf,
right.
You're going to be in the league, you know. He's I'm in serious leagues, around the country, and I'm in league with my band. It's something they don't want to be in, but they're going to be in it, you know.
Right.
There's something great about that, forcing the people that work with you to be in your fantasy football league. But also, I'm reading this old article. I'm looking about Meatloaf, and he said, I do so much fantasy baseball that it's ridiculous. I have a problem. I'm thinking, yes. Hey, Meatloaf. How you doing there? And so I don't know if you knew that nugget. A fantasy sports icon.
No idea.
And I'm talking about when it was decades ago before it got
right.
where everyone did
and they
it.
They do it by hand?
I did not know that. I did know, though, you guys know the origin of his name, right?
It's Meatloaf.
Yeah.
He loved
the origin of
it. He loved
it. Go ahead.
I believe it came from his high school football coach.
You believe it?
I swear I saw him doing a late night talk show when I was a kid, and he said he was like an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, and his coach said, whatever his real name is, you're not doing anything. You're just hanging there like a big meatloaf.
The story goes that while practicing football, he stepped on his coach's foot, prompting the coach to yell, get off my foot, meatloaf.
Okay, I was close.
Yeah, same.
But he was like, I like that, meatloaf. Right. And so everybody started calling him Meatloaf.
Because his real name's Marvin, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's all.
I like that, though. He got his, he's a rock star and an actor, and he got his name from high school football.
Right. In a fantasy sports icon. So rest in peace. Listen to some Meatloaf today and sign up for a fantasy league. I don't know. See?
A little play-by-play involved
right.
in
that's
Paradise
exactly
by
right.
the Dashboard Lights.
I just want to listen to the song. I like this part. Crank it up, Jake. This is sports. This is sports talk.
The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
How many times have... I'm not even... Had a few too many drinks at a wedding, and I'm, give me the microphone! Come here! I'll sing this song. One of those songs that when it's on, crank it up, gotta sit in the driveway till it's over. But dude, the Grammy winner who passed away last night, his 1977 debut album, Bat Out of Hell, remains one of the biggest selling albums in U.S. history with more than 14 million units sold. Rest in peace, Meatloaf. The Chiefs are going to win it for Meatloaf because I bet he had Mahomes on his fantasy football teams. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stan Weber's in studio now. First thing Stan said was, new chairs, very comfortable. Thank you to our wonderful partners at Office Products Alliance. Stan will be broadcasting his hour and a half in tremendous comfort now. You like these chairs, don't you? I love them.
I do. Before I even sat down, I said new chairs because I smelled the new chairs.
That's right.
These are brand new and completely different than the raggedy old ones we had before. Not
That's
that
right.
anyone really cared, but we had to sit very carefully because they could shake and you might fall over.
Ned Yost brought this up. You said you smelled the chairs before we were able to put them in here. We had Nate sniff all the seats.
Well, Nate's not feeling well right now, so he couldn't smell anything.
But Ned Yost said you did that. That's why.
Yeah, well, toilet seats,
well,
yeah.
I mean, you got to make sure that...
Mm-hmm. See Nate on his knees at the toilet just sniffing away.
That was about asparagus.
Well, I don't know what that
was
about.
That was a conversation about asparagus.
That's what you
say. I feel very well, by the way, Stan. I know I don't sound good, but I feel
good. You feel strong.
I feel strong.
You feel playoff strong.
Yeah.
I know that I said we would only talk football today, but Jake has insisted, I don't know why, that he wants us to take just a quick look in at how things are going with Memphis basketball, which is a bizarre request. But Penny Hardaway is the coach there, isn't he? All right, let's do a quick check in on Memphis basketball.
Big Penny, by the way.
Okay, not Little Penny.
Not Little Penny.
That's Chris Rock's voice.
I wish Little Penny was doing the press conference.
That'd be great.
Well, let's check in and see how Penny Hardaway is doing with Memphis basketball.
I think the one thing I can say to this media, because this media gets kind of f***ed up sometimes when it comes to me.
Oh.
We don't have our full roster. Y'all know we don't have our full roster. Stop asking me stupid questions about if I feel like I can do something. If I had my roster like they did, then I feel like I can do whatever I want to do. I'm coaching really hard. My boys are playing really hard. I'm not embarrassed about nothing. We have four freshmen starting. Y'all need to act like it. Act like we got 17, 18, and 19-year-olds out here trying to learn how to play against 22, 23, and 24-year-old guys. Come on, man. Stop disrespecting me, bro. Like, don't do that. I work too hard. I work way too hard for that. Y'all write all these articles about me, and all I do is work. We got young kids on the floor. They got young kids on the floor.
Apparently, things not going too well with Memphis basketball. Thank you, Jake, for bringing that to the table.
Laird Veach, a K-Stater, is the athletic director, so he gets to address these issues.
Yeah, he's having a talk with Penny Hardaway.
Well,
maybe?
I don't know, but you know, I'm sure the media goes to the SID, goes to the AD, and says, "Okay, is it okay for him to?" Cuss at us, or how are you going to handle this? So I'm just saying it's on his desk,
right?
To decide,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, yeah.
Not everyone's going to be happy, no matter what you do.
He's heard the comments. You're saying he's aware.
Yeah.
Stupid ass question.
Right.
He heard it before. Now he might want to listen back home here in this region.
That's right.
He may want to listen to Sports Radio 810 this morning on the app. But I bet he heard it before this morning.
Well, there's your look in at Memphis basketball brought to you by Jake. All right, Stan, we are so excited about this matchup on Sunday night, and we're going to get to that. But you know that I need to ask you what was going through your mind at the end of that Dallas Cowboys San Francisco 49ers game. And right now, after a week to think about it, I'd like to know who you blame for what happened at the end. Mike McCarthy says there's the right call. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Nothing to see here. Move on. Just fantastic. It's almost like they won when listening to his press conference this week. So
well, they're so happy they came back and gave it a shot.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, you know, for those that have been able to get up early and listen to the times we've dabbled in Dallas Cowboy analysis, I think what I've said all along in the show fits well. Did I ever talk about beating the Chiefs when they came to Arrowhead?
No.
No. They dumped the game to the Raiders on Thanksgiving Day with 5 million penalties. Like one of the most penalties in Dallas Cowboy history, they lost to the Raiders. Vaulted the Raiders forward. The Arizona Cardinals, did you see them play on Monday by chance?
I did.
Okay. And have you seen them play the last 5 or 6 weeks? Do you see a trend line here?
I think they won one of those games.
I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's finishing of the season is just like it was at Texas Tech with Patrick Mahomes, just like it's been. They start off to reach their peak, tease you that they may be legitimately flying toward the top, and then dip down to the middle very fast, right? So you saw the Arizona Cardinals do that. Why is that relevant? Well, there was one game in that 6-game stretch that they played really well, controlled the game and won. Oh, where was that? At Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I told you the Dallas defense isn't any good. No one wants to hear it because they saw all the turnovers. Okay, Diggs gets tons of turnovers as a cornerback, but that's because he'll dive on any inside movement to go get it and leave his guy wide open down the field 30 yards. He got dogged all year long. So it's give and take. I mean, I have no problem with him trying to make plays. He's a great man. He puts his hands on the ball. He's good. He's fast. But not consistent, not good. Micah Parsons makes almost every tackle. Okay. Van Der Esch made one good play all year. That was that pass over the middle where he actually tackled the guy short of the first down and created that fourth down. That was the one good play.
I thought about you when he made that.
That's
big time. Stan's excited about that.
That's big time right there. But no, the Dallas defense isn't any good. So the Niners dog them all day long with, you know, basic, whatever they wanted to do, football. And the Cowboys fought back at the end. And Dak Prescott, you know, he is just like a long list of quarterbacks that I have great appreciation for and root for. I mean, Don Meredith. You remember him as a Monday Night announcer. He's a good quarterback.
Dandy Don Meredith.
He was a very good quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. But you know what? Could not beat the Green Bay Packers to get to Super Bowl I or II, Ice Bowl, you know, the whole story. Craig Morton, very good quarterback, got the Denver Broncos to the Super Bowl. But he also got the Cowboys to the Super Bowl. But he wasn't, you know, big time. You can go Danny White, three straight NFC championships. Did a very nice job as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo, like Tony Romo, better as a player than an announcer. I mean, he's good, fun to watch, root for. Dak Prescott, they all fit in the same category. They're fun, they're good, but they don't get over the hump and win. Roger Staubach, totally different. Put him in any of those games with 5 minutes left of any of those 30 or 40 years, he goes wins the game, number one. And then you got to give Troy Aikman his due in the playoffs. Regular season stats, I know, not that great. But in the playoffs, he lit it up. He threw the ball accurately, did not throw interceptions. So Aikman, Staubach, you win. The rest of these guys, you get teased. Never thought the Cowboys would win the Super Bowl. Never thought the Cowboys are that great. And they had to go win the game on offense, and they really didn't do a great job there. So to answer your question specifically, a very low chance of winning. The 49ers did a pitiful job to start the drive to give the Cowboys a chance. The Cowboys should have been heaving the ball 55 yards away from the goal line.
Let them march right down the field.
They let them march right. Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy wished that didn't happen. If they would have played good defense, the Cowboys wouldn't have got close. But because they gave them easy plays, suddenly they had a choice. I got to be truthful. Landry and I were sitting there watching a game, and we called exactly that play. That's exactly what we said we would do. Either throw a quick pass or run up the middle because they finally guarded the sidelines. Go up, spike the ball, and give a good shot. Running a play from the 30 or 25-yard line, a legitimate play, heightens your opportunity comparing to heaving the ball 45 yards. Now, I have no problem if they would have thrown two Hail Marys. No problem. It's a 50-50 in my mind. We were talking about, like, throw two or three Hail Marys from here. That's fine. But we literally were talking about it and said, no, go up the middle real quick. Get 10 yards. Don't go too far. Don't waste too much time.
That's the key.
Exactly.
There.
Real quick, and then go spike the ball. So I had no problem with the strategy. Dak went a little bit too far. You know, I'm not saying the Cowboys would have won. It would have been an incomplete pass from the 24. I mean, realistically. So let's don't say the Cowboys are going to win. But whose fault is it? Whose fault is that not getting a chance to spike it? The officials. The guy comes running. He stood 30 yards behind the ball, stood there until the play ended, and had no anticipation, like, hey, this is a two-minute drill. We have a responsibility as officials to keep the game going. Then he runs down and bounces off Cowboys. And the referee should have said, stop. My umpire is just totally uncoordinated, hitting guys, bouncing around. The outside officials should have come in and touched the ball.
But, again, you're leaving it up to a 60-year-old umpire to get 30 yards down the field.
He was huffing and puffing.
Guys on the side could have came in and spotted the ball, too.
Well, I'm just saying that.
It should have been spiked. He went down with 9 seconds left.
The logic is that you're depending upon this old guy to get down the field and get set.
But
like, that's what you're depending upon.
That's fine. Two heaves from 45 yards is depending on – they aren't going to call pass interference, Jake. They're going to let him tackle the receivers.
He should have gotten down earlier. But
he did look like a running back busted through that line.
They should have thrown a pass. They should have ran. Should have thrown a quick slant, and that guy would have been, 7 yards ahead of where Dak would have saved you, 2 seconds?
And that's all
would have made all the difference in the world. But here's what's interesting is the officials, the umpire stands behind the linebackers in normal football forever, right? But the NFL changed it.
Right.
So they wanted those guys to not get hurt and get used as picks. Because Tyreek Hills and Travis Kelce's would run right next to their shoulder and have a defender smash into them. It's dangerous. They cleaned the game up and said, let's open that area up. So the officials go back. The referee's on one side, way back on the offensive side, and the umpire's on the other side. But with 2 minutes left, when that rule was changed, however many years ago it was, 10, 15, When he got to the two-minute drill, you know what happened? The umpire went back to his slot. I haven't read or heard any discussion. The question should be asked, when did the NFL still have the umpire way behind the ball and not flip him over? Because you know what he did after he touched the ball? Did you see what he did after he touched the ball? He backed up behind the linebackers and lined up where they normally used to for the two-minute drill. I'm very interested to see when that rule change was changed, because I know for a fact that when the umpire went to the offensive side, he did it until the two-minute drill. If he'd have been back there where he should have been, they would have touched the ball easily. The Cowboys would have spiked it, and then he would have thrown an incomplete pass, and they would have lost.
Robot official would have spotted that ball in plenty of time. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Received a very interesting text from our good friend, NBA scout Jared Sutton, who last night was sitting one row behind Penny Hardaway at the Memphis game. And now I will greatly anticipate that interview with Jared Sutton, because he apparently had quite an earful just listening to Penny Hardaway coach that game, as you could tell by his post-game press conference.
I assume Memphis did not win.
No.
Is that what the story is?
I think so. I think that's...
They've lost three in a row, I just saw.
Really haven't paid much attention.
That's a good assumption.
Haven't paid much attention to Memphis basketball, but now that press conference demands it, so I will be sure to tune into the next game. All right, Stan, it's Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium. We've asked everyone else about this topic, and so now I want to ask you. Jerick McKinnon had a breakout game for the Chiefs. We've talked about how he has that explosiveness and the speed that Clyde doesn't have, that Darrell Williams doesn't have. And look, Jerick McKinnon has battled injuries throughout his career. He's not durable enough to be an every down back for a 16 or 17 game season, but maybe he can help get them, like Damian Williams did, to the big dance and win it, like Damian Williams did after the 2019 season. What did you think of Jerick McKinnon's performance, and do you think he can continue to be an effective playmaker for the Chiefs on Sunday night?
I believe in what he did, and I think he will replicate that. He'll be fine. He is the best option for the Chiefs to use. You'd like to have Williams in there with a little more power if you wanted to run the ball to goal line instead of, you know, Travis Kelce passing and things like that. The combo of more than one back is always better. It's nice to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire back because of the depth, but I don't know if I was talking to you guys or which media session I was doing, but I was asked, you know, what difference is it going to make if Clyde Edwards-Helaire playing or not, and I said zero. It has absolutely nothing to do with the outcome of the Chiefs games all the way to the end of the Super Bowl. It's just a non-factor. McKinnon's better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire for this game against Buffalo. So if he can stay healthy and be a factor, you can put them both in there. But Clyde is the third of the three of importance to me, and none of the running backs really matter that much. That's not how the game's going to be won. It's Travis Kelce getting another 100 yards and Tyreek Hill being a factor and not dropping third down balls if you're Byron Pringle or those guys. There's going to be a few plays in a game where they're going to be the ball – the one receiving the pass from Mahomes is going to be delivering accurately. And do you drop it or do you catch it? It's a big place for the Chiefs. But I thought he did a very nice job. And I think we talked about the Dallas Cowboys. Like, Pollard is such an explosive back, the one you want to have the ball in his hands, but he'll never be able to do it down after down for 17 games in the NFL. He's not your lead back. And the Chiefs personnel department deserves a ton of credit to have these guys – you know, pull up your roster and put guys into the games that aren't the starters usually cost you when you're a team trying to win a Super Bowl. And what has it done for the Chiefs in 2019? And this year, it's kind of an advantage. I think he's the – you got to look at it from the opponent's side. That's the best way to do things. Like, what do you think about an opponent? For head coaching positions, everything else, like, if you're playing against them, what do you think about this? Well, they'd rather see – the Buffalo Bills would rather see Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield for this play rather than McKinnon, in my opinion. He has more explosiveness. He's more reliable in just a basic pass play to find a little gap. You know, Clyde can catch a little screen pass, and it seems like there's seven guys around him, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Just doesn't it seem like, mm-hmm. oh, he jukes and moves and gets 5 yards. Nice job. But when McKinnon catches it, it seems like, well, where is everybody? He finds a little pocket. You see, there's a feel for that where he may move a yard to the right for that screen pass and somehow has a feel before the play even unfolds how to make it a 15-yard play, the Denver Bronco play. You know, I just...
It seems like he exceeds the expected yardage whenever he touches the football.
And he's excited. You know, it's running backs, the NFL coaches have taught us, are just kind of throwaways. I mean, you just... Saquon Barkley, is he dominating the NFL? I mean, he's a big-time back, but
that,
he does...
It turned out to be
a
horrific first-round pick.
Right. So, but if you get a guy who's fresh and excited... That's probably as important as anything else, as long as they protect the football, right? You got to block against the blitz, number one. You got to not fumble the football, number two. And then anything you get after that. But, you know, if McKinnon were in game number 18 or 19, he'd probably be bruised and beaten down a little
fresh
bit. But he's fresh and excited. And he appreciates playing for a Super Bowl-level team. You know, every time he touches the ball, he's like, let's go, baby. And don't you see that enthusiasm in him, that confidence, that excitement, that explosiveness? Clyde Edwards-Helaire is playing like I'm in, a 7-year career. This is just a game. I'm going to play hard. But there's not that, like, boy, this is unbelievable. McKinnon knows these might be my last carries in the NFL. So I think he did a great job.
It reminds me of starting pitchers versus the bullpen in the Kansas City Royals 14-15 season. You got a guy that can go 200 innings like Jeremy Guthrie that's not explosive at all, and it's important for him to be able to do that workload, but you win the game with the guys who maybe can't go 200 innings like Wade Davis and Luke Hochaver, but can dominate for short periods of time and shut the other team down. That's kind of what...
It's not like the days you had Mike Boddicker could do both.
That's right.
Take the big innings up and then pitch in the ninth inning to make the winning place.
And just imagine the Mike Boddicker...
Those were the good old... That's the old running back mentality.
Just imagine if he would have had... robot umpires.
Of course.
That
yes.
really could
they
call
all
the strike,
would have been strikes then.
Absolutely. Yep. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Thank you so much for watching us on 38 The Spot on this Red Friday, Playoff Friday. Stan Weber's here until 7:50. Then Gary Lezak will be on the show. Gary doesn't know it yet, but he will be singing Happy Birthday to my twin daughters who turn 13 today.
Teenagers.
Wow. Man.
Then Daron Cherry and Tim Grunhard between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.